Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 4444. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're both free, including the postage and handling.
I'm doing the continuation of a piece of literature that I've written, Another Pearl Harbor. And right now, let's all go to the throne of the Lord to ask him to anoint outwardly this piece of literature and whatever else the Lord gives me in this message tonight. Lord, I ask you to anoint outwardly this message this evening. Lord, I want to be so careful that everything that is said on this epistle in the form of a piece of literature on this tape is directed from you, that souls may be won to the glory of you, Lord, and that the church may be edified to your glory. So open every spirit, every mind, every understanding, every heart to hear, every spiritual ear to receive what the Spirit is saying to the people of this world and to the churches. Father, that souls may be saved and the church edified and strengthened in Jesus' mighty name, we pray, and everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
All right, now here we have the continuation of Another Pearl Harbor. Continue on.
God has always condemned the one-world government, the one-world secular church, and the propagandists who are controlled by it.
Right. God condemns one-worldness. He began condemning that at the Tower of Babel. Everybody was of one language, one heart, one soul, and they all were building a tower to go up to the kingdom of heaven. And we're going there. We're going to go out there and destroy God. Well, since then, he split us up into different nations, different languages, and he likes it that way. He doesn't want it to be one universal people where we are so bilingual that we become one, because the heart of people is as wicked as can be. And when we all get together in one unit of worldly people, the Bible says that we're our own destruction. But before we destroy the world, the ungodly people that is, God said he's going to burn this world up to a crisp. And you may try to say that it's Mother Nature when it's happening, or a natural disaster. But these are not natural disasters or Mother Nature. These are supernatural disasters sent by God himself. And it doesn't matter, you can take a poll and a bunch of unsaved people say, we don't believe it's God. But the Bible says it is God. God brags about doing this, all right? He boasts of destroying the wicked, because he also boasts about hating the wicked. He said that there was a man in the Bible, he was born, he was a twin. And he said, I love Jacob, one of the twins, but on the other hand, Esau I hate it. I hate him and I cursed him. All right, so God loves and he hates and he has wrath and he says he destroys. He said he's a terrorist. He said he's a terrible God and you gotta fear God. But the false prophets, these angels of light that are standing in pulpits today that teach you all these false things, all they want is for your soul to go to hell and for you to spend eternity in the lake of fire with Satan and his evil angels. And if you want him to do that, well, then pay no heed to what I'm saying or what the Bible says. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I'm not making things up and making God into just sweet Jesus. They actually got him as being some fairy or something like that, and God is the exact opposite. He's a dreadful God, and it's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He said that the people in this world are going to pray that the mountains and the rocks will fall on them to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb of God, which is Jesus. So if you want to call him sweet Jesus, you're liable to make him very angry, okay? Because he's not sweet as the people of this world think him to be. He's a God that's full of wrath, especially as he sees people attempting to extract his and taking his name and making it an evil thing to even mention the name of God. Listen, you crazy people out there, the people that believe this Antichrist government, you're next. Believe me when I tell you. Believe me when God tells you. You're next. Okay, then what?
God has always condemned the one world government, the one world secular church, and the propagandists who are controlled by it, just as he condemned those who were building a one-world government at the Tower of Babel. He knows when ungodly men gather together with the idea that they are greater than God, as they did at the Tower of Babel, that it is Satan causing them to do this. He came down at Babel and confounded them. Before this, the people of the world all spoke the same language. God caused them to speak many languages.
You know, I haven't read this piece of literature in a long time. And here I just said it right before it's in the track. Because these things, the Lord gives me the same message today as he did then. Amen?
Amen.
You know I haven't read this, right,
yes.
for a long time. Mm-hmm. Then what?
Again, the people of the world have given God no alternative but to destroy their evil works. When God does this, when this happens, you will realize too late that God is the one who has sent me to the entire world with this message of his wrath. In the New Testament, in the book of Acts, Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, was exhibiting God's power and love by keeping God's commandments in everything he did. Everyone knew him because of the amazing miracles Christ performed through him and because of the way he helped people who were in need. His job was to make sure that no one, especially widows, were overlooked in the distribution of food. He also proclaimed the good news of Jesus with the boldness and the power of the Holy Spirit. Stephen did not merely preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He also publicly demonstrated God's message and life through the miracles Christ performed through him in the name of Jesus. The religious leaders who ran the secular government in those days tried to disprove the true message about Jesus Christ. However, they were not able to stand against Stephen's wisdom or against the Spirit of God, which was mingled with his spirit. So they lied about him that they might have him arrested and brought before the council of the religious leaders. Stephen, in the love of Christ, even towards his enemies, responded to their inquisition by telling them the history of the Hebrew people. He began with Abraham, told them of Moses, then spoke of the coming of Christ, the Messiah, the atoning Savior of the world. Stephen, by the Spirit of Christ, concluded with a verbal Holy Spirit attack on the religious secular leaders, who, like many of their ancestors, resisted the essential message of God's revealed word and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. These loving words of Stephen by the Holy Spirit angered the Jewish leaders. This was because he told them God is terrible to the kings of the earth, and God is terrible in his doing toward the children of men.
We have this all documented in this tract where it is in the Bible. Then what?
Psalm chapter 76, verse 12 and 66, verse 5. He said they should repent of their evil so that God would not destroy them and put their souls in hell and in the lake of fire forever. He told them how the Pharaoh in Egypt in the days of Moses mistreated the people of God and how God punished the Pharaoh for this by destroying the entire nation, including the deaths of all their firstborn children and the drowning of the entire Egyptian army. When they were killing Stephen, he called upon God to receive his spirit and to forgive the people who were killing him. Many who profess themselves to be members of Christ's body are not like Stephen. They retain grudges and former hurts. They allow these rather than the spirit of Christ in God to control their lives. When they do this, it is impossible for them to recover and become complete. When we surrender and trust our lives to God's hand, we will live and die with joy, knowing that God will take care of the details which are out of our control. Stephen, a spirit-filled deacon in the New Testament, tells us, and we are to tell others, that God is terrible to the kings of the earth. God wants me to tell you that in many places of God's word, he states he is terrible to the wicked kings of the earth, Psalm 76, verse 12. Also, God is terrible in his doing toward the wicked children of men, Psalm 66, verse 5. God is terrible towards the evil children of men who obey wicked, unrighteous kings, generals, captains, lieutenants, sergeants, their media, and their cult in Rome, rather than obeying God. These individuals leave the things of God to follow the evil kings of the earth, whom God shall soon destroy. The Lord told me to write this literature for the kings of the world and the people of the world. I am to warn them of God's wrath towards them, which is soon to come. God said, "Hear therefore, O ye kings, and understand. Learn, ye that be judges of the ends of the earth. Give ear, ye that rule the people, and glory in the multitude of nations." For power is given you of the Lord, and sovereignty from the highest, who shall try your works and search out your counsel. Because, being secular ministers of the earth, ye have not judged aright, nor kept the laws, nor walked after the counsel of God, horribly and speedily shall he come upon you, for a sharp judgment shall be to them that be in high places. For mercy will soon pardon the meanest, but mighty men shall be mightily tormented. For he which is Lord over all shall fear no man's person, neither shall he stand in awe of any man's greatness. For he hath made the small and great, and careth for all alike. But a sore trial shall come upon the mighty. Unto you therefore, O kings, do I speak, that ye may learn wisdom and not fall away. For they that keep holiness holily shall be judged holy, and they that have learned such things shall find what to answer. Wherefore set your affection upon my words. The Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 1 through 11. The Lord will be terrible unto all the wicked, both small and great, for he will famish all the gods of the earth. Zephaniah, chapter 2, verse 11. Whether you are a small, unrepentant, evil person in this world, or an unrepentant evil king, it will be a fearful thing for you when you fall into the hands of the living God, the real living God, the God who says he is a terrible God, the God who is a real terrorist towards all who are evil. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31. Evil to God is anyone who doesn't do everything he says. Jesus said, "Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you."
Well, the emphasis is on whatsoever I command you. Well, you say that God hasn't told me anything. Read the Bible. You see that he tells the entire world all the things that you must do if you don't want to be cursed. Amen?
Amen.
So don't say he hasn't talked to you. You just haven't opened the Bible to look at God, the Word. Open it and see what he says, and then don't wonder if you have some dreaded disease on you and you're not serving the Lord, or you have never sought him or opened the Bible to look at him. Don't wonder why these things happen. People that open the Bible or hear messages and they receive the Lord, they're healed. So don't complain. Don't blame God for what Satan has done to you or has convinced you to do, that you might be cursed. Blame yourself for not seeking your Maker, your Healer, your Savior, your Deliverer. If you're in a lot of trouble, or any kind of trouble at all, seek your Deliverer. If you have sickness, diseases, infirmity, seek your Healer. That's God Almighty. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's God. If you are hungry or thirsty or naked, seek your Provider. You turn to the Lord and He'll turn to you. But if you turn your back on him, he will most certainly turn his back on you. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, that was John chapter 15, verse 14. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. In Acts chapter 5, verse 29, when the evil authorities commanded the apostles not to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ any longer,
as they're doing today, okay, then what?
The apostles answered them, saying, we must obey God rather than any human authority. Greek English New Testament.
And so, chapter 13 of Romans, the secular human authority, says that those authorities that are mentioned there are the authorities of God. But the Lord plainly states that these are your ministers. These are the ones that God has ordained to be the authority of God, not the human authorities, but the supernatural authorities, those that are filled with the Spirit and washed in the blood of Jesus. All right, then what?
Today, the true people of the Lord will tell the evil worldly authorities, those who don't care whether or not they spend eternity in hell, the same thing. Rome and her false prophets, who disguise themselves as children of the Lord, or fundamentalists, have been preaching a Jesus and a God who do not exist. This cult and her false prophets, according to God's word, are all antichrists. God has called me to tell you about the real God and the real Jesus in his word by the Holy Spirit.
And his word is God. I can't say that enough. Then what?
I am to tell you that Jesus Christ is coming back to earth again, and that he shall be back sooner than you think. with good rewards for all those who loved him and kept his commandments, and with great wrath for all those who did not repent or keep his commandments.
When the Lord says great, believe me, you know, a lot of people use those words, buzzwords like great, but when God says great, it is incredible, beyond awesome. Okay, then what?
But before this happens, there is wrath that is coming. The plagues are coming. This world is about to receive the first seven of the 14 plagues mentioned in Revelation chapter 8, verse 7 through chapter 11, verse 19. The other seven plagues will follow immediately after. In the first seven plagues, several billion people will be slain. More than one half the world population will be destroyed with the first seven plagues. There will be hail, fire, and blood. All vegetation will burn. A huge meteorite, as big as a mountain, will make the sea turn to blood, and one-third of the creatures in the sea will die. Then one-third of all the ships will be destroyed, and all the rivers and waters will turn to wormwood. They will be undrinkable. Millions will
die. Just like the waters in New Orleans is undrinkable, and in other places where God has poured out his wrath. These are just the beginning of sorrows. You haven't seen anything yet. There's much more to come. If you think this is the end of it, and if you think you people can rebuild these cities, by the time you get them built, they'll all be shaken down again. And before they get built, if they ever do, many of you will be dead and in hell if you don't repent. And you'll be in the lake of fire. Then what?
Millions will die from the water and the resulting pollution. One-third of the sun, moon, and stars shall soon be darkened. Revelation chapter 8, verses 7 through 12. Huge demonic locusts shall rise out of the bottomless pit, accompanied by so much smoke that the sun and the air will be darkened.
Yeah, I've heard people say that this will be helicopters. No, because there are no helicopters in the bottomless pit. That's hell. These are supernatural, satanic beings. God pulls the lid off of hell for a little while for these creatures to come out of hell to torment people, ungodly people, for several months. And he says they'll try to die, but they can't. They'll even probably get their doctors to help them commit suicide. But no matter how hard they try to die, they will not die because God hates them so much that he wants to torture them temporarily for about a few months. And then after this, to send them into a burning inferno forever. That's billions, trillions of years of where they cannot die. They're just constantly dying, but they can't, and they're constantly in every unimaginable torments. Then what?
These locusts will have a king, a leader, and have the same power as scorpions. They shall be commanded to hurt only those men which do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. That is, those who are not born of water and of the Spirit of Christ. Revelation chapter 9, verse 2 through 4. The children of Satan will have the seal of Satan placed on their foreheads or their right hand by men, but the seal of God on his children's foreheads is put there by the Holy Spirit.
By them receiving the Holy Spirit. God isn't just going to do it. You must receive the Holy Spirit. You must discipline yourself to walk by the Spirit. That means discipline yourself. The Word of God is the Holy Spirit. The Bible is the Holy Spirit. So you must discipline yourself to obey, to be disciplined by the Bible, the Word of God. If you don't discipline yourself to do it, God won't do it. He's not going to control you. He wants to see you control yourself to be controlled by the Word of God. If you don't, it doesn't make any difference. If you break one of the commandments, you've broken them all, according to God. He doesn't want anything unruly. He will not have anything unruly in heaven. Okay, then what?
Their sins have been washed away with the blood of Christ Jesus, and they are filled with God's Holy Spirit. God knows them very well. The seal on the foreheads of Christ's followers is the mind of Christ.
Well, which is the Word of God. Everyone that fills their mind with the Word of God, that means they're sealed with the Word of God. They don't know anything other than the Word of God. They don't want to know anything other than God. They don't want to serve anyone but God. They don't want to focus on anyone but God. Therefore, they are sealed by God's word in their minds. And it's like a trickle-down system. It goes right down into their soul from their mind. And this is how we defend our minds from Satan's satanic fiery darts, like the satanic things that you would ordinarily see in the world when you're walking around there or witnessing to people the things they say, or if you're reading newspapers and see satanic things, or you watch the news or something, they have satanic evil commercials on that try to grip onto you. But if your mind is filled with the Word of God, that means the Word of God is Christ. So your mind is filled with Christ, and it's very easy when your mind is filled with Christ, when you have the mind of Christ, to discipline yourself, to be disciplined by the Word of God. Without that, you cannot be disciplined. You cannot discipline yourself because there's no power. There's no Word of God in your mind. If your mind is completely focused on the Word of God, which is God, then you, like Bishop Jake says, you don't have to find him. Isn't that sorry? I mean, you know, he gets all those people so riled up, and I just say, what do you mean you don't have to find him? If you open up the Bible, you've found. The Bible says that Christ is the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
If you open up the Word, you've got him. You found him. Amen?
Amen.
If you seek him, I mean, I sought for all these different books, but when I found the Lord, I opened the Bible and there he was. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And so meek means to just read the Word of God, fill your mind with him, and you've got him. And the more you just read him, the more of him you know, the more of him that you have found. The more you read the Word, the more you've found of God. But you found him the minute you opened the Bible. Read the Beatitudes. That's the first thing you should read, is the Beatitudes in the Gospels. Amen?
Amen.
Because this shows the love of God. But then you start reading the book of Revelation, you're going to see some wrath and judgment. Amen?
Amen.
And you read the 24th chapter of Matthew, and you're going to see some wrath and judgment in the Gospels. All right, then what?
God sees who they are. He knows them, and they know him, because he lives and works within every one of them. The Bible, God's word, says the locusts will not kill these wicked men, but shall torment them for 5 months. Their pain will be so awful that they will seek death, but be unable to find it. Death shall flee from them. Revelation chapter 9, verse 6. These locust-like beings look like horses prepared for battle and wear crowns like gold. Their faces will be like men. They will have hair like women, the teeth of lions, and breastplates of iron. Their wings will sound like chariots and many horses running to battle. They will have tails like scorpions with stingers. God will give them the power to hurt the wicked men of the earth for 5 months. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1 through 11. Four of God's angels shall slay one-third of all mankind. If the world population is 6 billion people, 2 billion will be killed. If the world population is 8 or 9 billion, there will be around 3 billion people destroyed by God's four angels and their army of 200,000 ecclesiastical horsemen wearing breastplates of fire, jacinth, and brimstone. The heads of the horses will look like the heads of lions, and fire, smoke, and brimstone will pour out of these supernatural beings' mouths. By these three will one-third of mankind be killed, through the fire, smoke, and brimstone issuing out of their mouths. Their power is in their mouths. Their tails are like to serpents. They have heads, and with them they do hurt. Revelation chapter 9, verse 13 through 19. Immediately after this, the angel of the Lord will descend from heaven and state that there should be time no longer. Revelation chapter 10, verse 6. Just before God gives power unto his two witnesses, as prophesied in chapter 11 of Revelation, a mighty angel, which is actually the angel of the Lord himself, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth. Here Jesus is signifying ownership of the earth, both land and sea, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth, and lifted up his hands to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Time no longer means the end of time. We are living very close to that moment, which is the very end of time. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, just after the death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven of the two witnesses, when the seventh angel shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Revelation chapter 10, verse 1 through 3 and 5 through 7.
I'm going to stop here. It's time for us to pray now. Those of you that want to be part of those that are going to be rejoicing when this Antichrist regime is over with, which is any minute now, say this prayer so you can be saved. Say to the Lord, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that you, Father God, raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Father God, Holy Spirit, wash all my former filthy sins in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. Father God, Holy Spirit, you will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just praise and thank the Lord, and share and tell everybody how to receive a copy of this program, number 44.
Go to alamuministries.com. Email us at taoffice@alamuministries.com. Or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 2948, Hollywood, California, 90078, or call area code 661-252-5686. That's 661-252-5686.
All right, praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo again saying to make sure you tune in again tomorrow. We're going to continue this message, God willing. Until then,
praise the Lord. God bless you until mañana.